This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears Up!
Yes, it is Ears Up Podcast. Welcome, everybody. We have another episode. Terrence, this is episode number 187.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like there should be songs about
it. 187.
I think we had a song about that.
Yeah. I think there's a few songs about it, and I'm pretty excited about it. 187. On a mother friggin' RSS feed, something like that.
Yeah, exact, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, right, that's how it works, man.
A mother friggin' meter maid, something like that.
What? Standing in the shade. Get out my way, because you don't know how much I paid to park here. Maybe you do, because you're a city worker. And you know all about the ins and outs of how the city flows, like my flow goes.
Oh. Keep going.
No.
Oh.
I don't think I can.
That was good.
They were words, right? Yeah. Wow. Rude. We have a good show for you guys today. Before we get to the good show, which is Terrence doing his History of Walt's Nine Old Men Part 2.
Love it.
Okay. We have Rob from Bantha Milk. Rob, welcome back to the show. You have been on here a couple times, I think, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
No, but now we're talking about something else.
Yeah, exactly. So Rob had an idea to see how our opinions on things have changed over the years.
Oh.
And so I said, you know what, Rob, that sounds great. That sounds like a good game. I just don't have time to like go back through all the shows and listen to all the shows and pull all the stuff. And he goes, I'll do it. And
wow.
I go, wow, Rob, that sounds really great. But I also don't have enough time to really run the game. And he goes, I'll do it. And I go, wow, that's great. Rob, I don't have time to do my taxes. And he draws a line there. But Rob's going to run this game, and we're going to go back. I'm calling it the Opinion Mover System.
Okay.
Instead of the Omni Mover System. I don't know. It's a stupid name. But I want to see – I'm interested to see how all of our opinions change over the last 11 million years that we've doing the show.
Cool.
11 million. And that's exactly what I found was the first episode was 11 million years ago.
That's right. Yep.
So it's weird on podcast on Apple Podcasts, it says 201 episodes. So I don't know if you guys had some like half episodes in there or something.
No, those are in-depth episodes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Which I've also thought about changing up and like maybe giving its own feed. Maybe Jeremy was right the first time. I don't know. We'll see. I got a lot of ideas and, not a lot of time to execute them, so they don't get done. And probably that's for the best. Find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. You can go to feedback or any feedback on the show. Rather, goes to Taryn at earsup-podcast.com. Show suggestions goes to Terrence at earsup-podcast.com. You can say hi.
Hi.
To Bev's husband, Sam, at bev@earsup-podcast.com. And anything else... comes to me, Jason.
They respond to you.
Hi, my name is Beverly. I'm waiting for my clothes to dry, so I'm talking to you. I have a couple things to talk about with you guys here. A couple serious topics. Okay, I don't want to get too serious, but I'm sort of thinking, and everybody's pushing me into this, and I want to know what you guys think. We're thinking of like a Bay Area meetup at like 21A ish sort of thing. Late summer, like late July, early August. I don't know. Originally, I was like, oh, maybe we can do a show because if we're going to be together, we might as well work because that's sort of my mentality.
I would love to have a meetup with people. I think we need to get away from having a show if we meet up with people, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. But then if you said the other way, then I would agree with you also. Like, I'm like, I was talking to Bev about it earlier today. I was like, I'm completely on the fence on this. I don't know how many people would go, and it wouldn't be like a ticketed event like our fifth anniversary. It would just be like, you're in the area, you know, you can come and hang out. But I feel like we already have all the resources and went, oh, there goes, someone's calling Bev. That's cool.
Sorry.
Oh.
Honestly, I think if we just have a meetup and say, if you want to come out, meet up, that's fine. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get more people if we say we're going to do a show. So I just say, hey, just hang out.
I agree.
Let's just have a beer. Let's just chill.
Yeah, I agree. So if you're in the Bay Area, or if you're planning on coming to the Bay Area like late July, early August, or you would anyways for vacation or whatever, let me know if that's something you know you would want to do. So we just hang out at the bar at 2NA San Leandro. There's a lot of stuff to do outside. Preferably inside because it'll still be hot, but hopefully not this hot. And we'll just have a good time and hang out. Nothing, you know, no big deal. Just see where it goes. Just have a drink and see where things go.
It's like a first date.
Yeah, exactly right.
This is the most creepy. It's fine. Oh, just come over. Just neck butts and chill. It's all good. Don't worry about it. We'll be good. Like, this is the most creepy thing I've ever heard in my life.
Like, look, I know, you know, I have to send the movie back tomorrow. Netflix, it only get it for 3 days. So put the DVD back, and I knew you wanted to watch this, so I got it for you. So if you want to come over and watch it now, if not, totally cool. Totally get it. That's fine. But let me know, because I'm also cooking dinner. So I'm just going to watch this, and if you want to join, that's fine. Anyway, so let me know. Shoot me an email or hit me on social or whatever, and I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we can con Sully into some drink tickets or something like that.
The ears up corporate jet, bring all the other shows.
Yeah, it's called Southwest.
It's called it's called Sam's 95 Tacoma.
We'll drive all the way out to pick up Rob.
Sorry,
in Jersey.
96 Tacoma.
Wow.
Southwest, are there computers up yet? I don't know. Why it's going yet?
If I don't know, man. But you know what is going, Terrence? Disneyland. Disneyland is open. The mask mandates have dropped. I'm going to talk about this in the news segment a little bit, but if you are planning on going to the parks, buy your tickets from Concierge. You don't have to worry about going online. Just email them and go, hey, this is what I'm thinking. They'll get back to you. They will do all of the work for you. So check them out. Go to concierge.com. They're great people. They know what they're doing. If you're going to Disney World, book through them as well. It's no extra charge for you, and you can totally use that fact to have them book restaurants and all this kind of fun stuff for you. So check them out, concierge.com. They've been a big, big supporter of the show, and they deserve your business because they're just, frankly, nice people, except for that Jimmy guy. If you get a concierge called Jimmy, don't just hang up and dial back and get somebody. No, I'm kidding.
But honestly, let me reiterate all the work they've done.
Yeah.
All the work for my trip. I send emails saying things I want to do, and it happens.
Wow.
They're like, awesome. Cool, got it. I'm like, hell yeah.
That is great. And I'm only saying, I'm only teasing Jimmy because Jimmy from Scraping the Vault in Supreme Resort, along with Eric, Jimmy is a concierge, part-time concierge.
Oh, really? I didn't get that joke. I was like, that's kind of rude. I don't know who Jimmy is.
Yeah, well, I thought he said it on the other show when they were on the crossover show.
Yeah, he mentioned it on the last show.
All right, I just want to make completely sure that anybody listening from concierge, like Mike, if Mike listens, like, why are they slagging off our people? But it's just Jimmy. But no, everybody's great. Jimmy is great, too. He's a very detail-oriented man, so if you do get Jimmy, say hi. But anyways, concierge.com, and make sure to tell them where you heard about them. And even if you're not ready to go to the parks yet, like me, send them an email maybe, or follow them on social media, shoot them a message and be like, hey, thanks for sponsoring Ears Up. I really appreciate it. That would help. That would go a long way too. It's the second best thing. You know what I'm trying to say? Okay. You can support the show. Speaking of second best thing, go to Etsy.com/shop/Coveyears, because not only do we have t-shirts and fun stuff like that, but we have brand new Mai Tai glasses are up for sale. They've been up for about a week now. Of course, the Patreon people had 3 or 4 days head start on everybody else, but they are on for pre-order. So Etsy.com/shop/cubears. Grab yours today. We'll be shipping them in about 6 to 8 weeks. So this is a pre-order sale again, and I just want to make absolutely sure that everybody knows it's a pre-order. If you don't get your glasses in 2 weeks, don't like file some sort of grievance or whatever. They're on their way. We just haven't ordered the glasses yet because they cost a lot of money. So, you know, we got to do this whole thing. But Mai Tai glasses are great. They're designed by Matt Tedesch, who designed our other Mai Tai glasses. So they're high quality. The art is great. The screen printing is amazing. It looks great. Each order will also come with a drink recipe, which is something we talked about last time, but I just didn't have time because they were Christmas themed, right? And I'm like, we need to get these out. We need to do them now. I don't have time to do this. But since these are more like a summer themed Mai Tai glass, we got some time. Yeah. We got some time.
That's cool. I didn't know you were doing that. I love that.
Yeah, it'll be neat. So it's a drink recipe created by myself and lovingly guided by Taryn and most likely Brad. So Brad will help me out and it'll be fun. Speaking of filing grievances, we got kicked off of PayPal the other day. Ears Up has now been officially banned from PayPal.
Which is sort of amazing. I feel like it's not easy to do.
I don't know if it is or not.
Because they won't tell you anything.
Because they won't tell us a single thing. You can't call them and go, hey, what happened? And they'll go, oh, well, you know, you sent money to, you know, I don't know, Iran, and it was funneled through a weird third party. Like, it's not like that. I just use it to pay everybody. Don't worry, Rob. Most people. I don't know. I go on to pay an invoice to pay our host at BubWeb. If you're looking for hosting, go to bubweb.com. And I couldn't pay him. Couldn't pay the invoice through PayPal. Because like, no, you've been blocked. You've been banned. Sorry. You have 180 days before you can get the rest of your money out of our stupid business. And good luck to you. So the only way I can ever find out.
I didn't know they were holding our money ransom.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only way that That's I can, offensive. The only way that I can find out, what happened is through a subpoena. I have to like literally take them to court to find out why they banned us. And so I'm investigating that because they're going to earn their money.
Yeah.
I'm going to make their lawyers. If it doesn't cost me a whole lot of money, $150 or less, I'm going to do it. Anything over that, I'm not going to, that's not worth it to me, but I want to know what happened.
Yeah.
Weird. So there you go. If you want to send us money, you can't do it through PayPal anymore. I'll figure out some other way.
If we get banned from like all the other ones, like next is like Venmo and then like Zelle, and if we get banned from all of them, are we just gonna start writing checks?
I guess. Yeah, if you want to donate to the show, send your check, make your money order payable to Jason Petros.
Just
P.O. box.
Yeah. We're going to get a big sign that just says cash only.
It's just like, I don't understand, man. I don't get it.
The worst bar ever.
Oh my God. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, that's been the latest drama is PayPal has banned us for no reason. I think personally, because they haven't told me. So until they tell me, it's no reason. Oh, and I gave them a lot of stuff. I mean, I asked to speak to the customer service person's manager and I was just like, I just want to ask you, like, I know you can't do anything about it and whatever, but why do you think this happened? Why do you think you can't tell me? He just sat there. I'm like, I'm asking you a question. Like, why do you think your company is treating me in this manner instead of just telling me, hey, you did this thing wrong. Why don't you fix it and we can go back to doing business together? Why do you think this happened? He's like, you're asking me for my opinion? I go, yeah. And he goes, well, I can decline to give you my opinion. I go, yeah, you can. Just thought you might want to get it off your chest. You know, oh just God. Figure out like why. And I didn't care. And I never do that. I never belittle customer service people ever because I know what it feels like to be on the other end. But I just did not care. And this person is a manager. So in my mind, smooth brain, they make more than the other person I talk to. And anyway, so I got it off my chest, man. I go, you know what? I really hope that you find a job that treats people ethically with a better pay structure than PayPal, man. I really hope that for you because this is rude. I don't understand. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt.
You went off.
I did, dude. I did. I went off and it didn't do anything. It made me sort of feel good, but, you know, that's that, right?
Moon Boots IPA is the latest 21st Amendment beer release. A West Coast IPA brewed with strawberries and loaded with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops. Moon Boots IPA was designed and brewed by an all-woman team at 21st Amendment Brewery and in partnership with the Pink Boots Society, advocating for the advancement of women in the beverage industry. The label for Moon Boots IPA features the beer's creators envisioned as otherworldly beings and was commissioned by renowned Los Angeles-based animation artist Robin Eisenberg. Moon Boots IPA is a very limited release and available across the country at your favorite good beer shop, where 21st Amendment beer is sold.
That's right, everybody. Moon Boots IPA from the 21st Amendment. It's good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right, Rob, let's go. The new SEGI, the Opinion Mover System, starring Rob from Bantha Milk Podcast. Rob, what are we doing today, buddy?
All right, so I'm going all the way back to the first episode that I could find on Apple Podcast, which was...
Should be the very first episode. If not, I don't know.
2014, and you guys were talking about in previous episodes, so I think there might be some more floating around back there that I couldn't find or something like that. So this one, you guys talked about your top 10 Disney bucket lists.
Okay. I vaguely honestly remember this.
Okay.
So, yes. So, and also at the time, Taryn was talking about how far things were in White Houses.
Oh, God.
Back then. Okay. Yeah,
way back then. So just...
I said something about like an entire Star Wars themed area, right? I called that out, right?
Well, it wasn't on your bucket list, but there was talk at this time of a Star Wars themed area that would be cool. Yes. So, but I do want to let you know that it would be 85,360 White Houses from my house to Disneyland.
Nice.
That I did the math.
That's not bad.
That's what I came up with. So there we go. Right. So, first question for you guys before we get into the bucket list. One of you did not follow the rules. There were rules.
Terrence.
Terrence, what did you do, man?
He probably picked 12.
You said one. I thought one meant 12.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh. So, funny thing, your number was correct, but the person was wrong.
Hmm.
It was Taryn. You didn't. You had 12 things on your 10.
What? I don't break the rules.
Broke the rules.
Wow.
Yep. So,
yeah, it sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
That was the first thing. Second, there was one thing on everybody's list that you all agreed on. Huh. Can you guess as to what you all said you wanted to do, except for Bev, because Bev was not an official member.
I would say that the thing that we all agreed on was going to Shanghai.
No.
No.
Hell no.
I don't think so. I think it was...
One thing we all agreed upon. I don't remember. I have no idea. It would probably be something dumb like eating churros, but if it's our bucket list... Back in 2014, would it have been going to Club 33?
No, I thought it was something to do with a plaid.
No, it didn't have anything to do with a plaid.
I think it was going to all of the Club 33s.
But that would involve going to China, which I don't want to do. I'm still no travel to China guy. So I don't know. What is it? What was it?
You all said that you would spend the night in the Disney Dream Suite.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
All wanted to spend the night in the Disney Dream
Suite. Like at the same time?
Together.
Do a lockdown, a 40-hour lockdown. Bolt all the windows.
I mean, honestly, is Jeremy going to be there? Because maybe.
Jeremy shows up, it'll make it definitely with a box wine and Jeremy, you're going to have a good time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you didn't say together collectively, but you all did say individually that you did want to go and stay the Disney Dream Suite.
I think that's fair. I would still do that.
Yeah, I would definitely still do that.
Yeah.
Terrence and Taryn both agreed that they both wanted to go to Hawaii and stay at, how do you say it, Alani?
Alani, I guess. Sure. Yeah. Okay, I'm assuming that's going to happen still.
Yeah.
Still want to do that.
I definitely still
Opinions have not changed.
Still bucket list.
Okay, got it.
All right, so neither of these you've been able to check off of your bucket list.
No.
Is there anything that you guys think that you had on your bucket list that you have been able to check off since 2014?
I don't even remember the bucket list. I have no idea. So just
100%.
Okay. What do you think, Terrence, was on your bucket list that you have been able to check off?
Club 33, for sure.
Okay. That was on your bucket list. Very good. And you did go to that now? Because that was a big thing. I will say that Taryn and Jason were making fun of you a lot for not going. Yeah.
That's like the most elitist thing.
I went to Club 33 on January 11th, 2019.
Nice.
Who remembers that?
It's his birthday.
Oh.
It was my birthday.
I mean, I knew that.
My 39th birthday, we went down there, and I had a buddy who was working for a company that they had. They actually had a Club 33 membership, and he was able to get me in. I remember the date.
Nice.
All right. Well, there you go.
I know I hit one of mine.
Okay.
Being the rebel spy. I'm fairly certain that was
one. I'm fairly certain, too. That sounds about right. Sounds like something Taryn would want to do.
One of my 12.
Yeah. Basically, to be a Marxist communist.
Not one of your 12.
Really?
Wow.
Not one of your 12.
Have we done more than one bucket list, John?
Your 2014 bucket list. It was not one of your 12 in the 2014. Darn.
All right. Well, there you go, Taryn. Okay, not only did you break the rules, but you got it wrong. What else is there, Rob?
Okay. So let's see. So Taryn said go to Club 33, which he now did. So check that one off.
Yeah.
Like spend the night at Disney, Disney Dream Suites. Go to Shanghai Disney was on Taryn's bucket list. This one is a fun one. I like this one. Play one-on-one inside of the Matterhorn. Well, that basketball court down there.
I would still do that. I mean, if you can anymore. I think they have removed. I think back at the time I was like, oh, well, you know, I know that you can't play basketball in there anymore. But since the Disney Imagineering story aired, they've moved that cabinet in front of the hoop. So I think you can actually play basketball there now. So I would do that.
For sure. Yeah,
I think that would be one of the most fun places to play basketball would be inside of there.
Probably the only fun place to play basketball, honestly.
This was a good one. And Terrence also was talking about how he now knows how to do this. So it'll be interesting to see if you have been able to do it. You wanted to get one of the honorary citizen Disneyland buttons. Were you ever able to get one of those buttons?
Also, on January 11th, 2019, I have that button now.
Really? Because I was about to say, like, I think we would have heard about this nonstop if you had gotten it, but I don't remember this.
You How were... did you get that button?
So I went to the main place on Main Street.
The main place.
City Hall.
Yeah.
To City Hall.
Big Disneyland fan.
And so the reason why I got it is because I went to City Hall on my birthday, expecting to walk up the stairs, have them like fill it out and give me like the, you know, happy birthday button. But they had an entire cart of buttons that I had to rummage through in order to get the button that I wanted for my happy birthday one, and then write it with my own handwriting with a Sharpie. And right next to the one that I just got for my birthday was honorary citizen. So I got that one as well. So you
stole the honorary citizen button.
Yeah, so you didn't get it for any reason. You just found it.
There's no one there to hand it to me. It's not my fault.
Yeah, so I bet if you go to Harvard and go in the administration building, you can find a diploma. If you take one of those, are you a Harvard grad?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I had no idea. There's no one here hand it to me, so I just took it.
Yes, you make a point. I'm just saying, if they're not protecting them, then, you know, whatever. Take whatever you want. It's all good.
Okay, got it.
That's really funny.
I love it. All right, Rob, go ahead, please.
You also wanted to visit Imagineering Studios.
We did that.
Okay.
We did that,
Taryn and I did that.
Okay, that's fun. Be on the Black Pearl while the ride is going. You wanted to...
That's never gonna happen.
That was like... That's an insane person's wish.
This one was
shooting for a different galaxy at that point.
Yeah, for sure.
That sounds hella cool.
I want to be in scuba gear underneath the water while the ride is going on, eating oysters or what. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, why not? Just forget about it. Paint me camouflage so I can lean against the bricks and watch people go by and then move just slowly. See if they notice.
This one was picture with the kids taken with every character in the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, all of them at the same time. So you
I'm sorry, who have this as their choice? Because this is awful. Like, that sounds absolutely, I'm not going to swear, but absolutely awful.
It was me.
You're wrong. No,
Terrence is like the darling of this show right now.
These are all Terrence's, you guys.
This is all Terrence's. Yeah, this is Terrence.
It was me, but it didn't happen, and it has not happened, and we're at the point where the kids don't care about happening. Like, they don't care about that. Like, the everyone, like, all three of my kids are like, we're big enough. Let's go on Indy. That's all we want to do. They don't want to take pictures with anyone, including their parents. It's not going to happen. That is a bucket list item that will never happen in our lifetime.
And then your last one was to sit in on an Imagineering blue sky session. Is the way you
Wow. Hey, that's a bucket list.
Yes. So that was, so you did get about three of them checked off. So that's impressive. One you stole, but yeah, it's okay. We won't talk.
But at the same time, like, looking back, my bucket list was like absolutely it's not achievable. There's no way I would do like 90% of my bucket list. So
no way. All right, Rob, what's next, man?
Okay, so Taryn, yes. She said she wanted to step foot, i.e. swim, in the rivers of America.
Yes. I still want to do that. No, I haven't.
You still want to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, gross. All right, what's next?
Go to Disneyland Paris.
Okay. Huh. You still want to do that?
I mean, I do, but I don't know if I care as much anymore. Okay. I don't think I'd put it on a bucket list.
Okay. All right. Wow, so that has changed. Look at that. We've grown. We've grown a little bit.
Off your bucket list. Go to Disney World, which...
I did that.
We did.
This was a fun one. Make the Space Mountain control room operators actually wave.
Yeah, hasn't happened.
Nice.
Wanted to have dinner in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, that hasn't happened either.
No.
Stay at a hotel in Celebration, Florida.
I don't even know if they have hotels.
Weird. I'm sure it's a city. Every city has a hotel.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't need to do that. That's too far away.
All right, it's changed. Look at that.
You guys were all about Celebration Florida at this time. Like, there was a whole story about it that you guys were talking about and stuff. And you were like, I want to stay in one of those hotels.
I actually looked into staying at Celebration when we go in September. And I was like, that's too far.
Have dinner at Victoria and Albert's. Restaurant in Disney World.
Oh yeah, that's never like the super super fancy one in the Grand Floridian.
Adding that to my list.
You can put that through concierge.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I can. I'm really excited about that.
Send them an email. Tell them to do it.
This was a fun one.
I'm actually doing it right now.
There you go.
Well, pay attention to the show first. Do it later.
This one goes along with you guys tweeted this out today about this ride. You wanted to successfully get all of the tricks in Toy Story Mania.
That's a hard one.
That I have done.
You did? You got all of them?
Like all the Easter eggs? No.
Yeah, we did it once.
No.
We did it once.
No.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
I think that's a check.
Stay in a California Grand Suite?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Bucket list.
Yeah. Okay, that's still on there.
And then this one, get a job at Disney or Pixar.
Yeah, no, that hasn't happened. They don't pay enough anymore.
Yeah, so that's off your bucket list too. There you go. Look at that. We're changing and growing.
Yeah, we are.
It's funny, like, I'm getting closer to retirement. I'm still like 8 years away, but I'm like finally at that point where I can see the light at the end of the tunnel and it's starting to get a little bit bigger. And I'm like, oh, when I retire, I'm going to go get a job at Disney and just be that guy at the front door that just goes, welcome to Disney. Have a magical day. Like, I just want to be that guy.
I would do that. I would definitely do that. Or, like, just drive the cars around.
Drive the cars around.
But I feel like the guys who drive the cars around are the same guys, and they've been the same age for, like, 20 years. Yeah.
So it'll be perfect, because at that point, I'll be that age also.
Right. Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. It's Ears Up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
Gee, sorry guys, but that guy bought 14 churros. I'm all sold out.
And now, back to the show.
All right, Jason, now it's your turn.
Okay.
Drive the Mark Twain riverboat.
Did it in Disney World.
You did it in both.
And Disneyland, actually, coast to coast. Clean lines, dab it, let's go. Did it.
Get a backstage tour of everything in Disneyland.
Well, it didn't. Not everything, but a lot of stuff. So I'll count that as a win. Scratch that off the bucket list.
There you go. When my senior trip, we were riding the People Movers in Disney World, Walt Disney World, and it broke. So they had to let us off. Like backstage, we walked down this like back hallway behind the People Movers, and we thought we were so special because we were walking down this back hallway. It was just a hallway, but to us, we were like, "Oh my god, this is the most amazing thing in the world!"
Yeah, absolutely, man, for sure.
You wanted to perform in a character suit for a shift?
God, I would still do that. But let me amend that. Not for a shift, because that's like 4 hours of work. I would want to do it for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just until you started to get a little too hot. And then
then it's like, okay, kid, get out of here. Shoo. Go away. But I would definitely still do that. I would love to do that. That'd be great.
I think I agree with you. Help overlay the Haunted Mansion.
Yes, but then again, I'm going to amend my bucket list to attend the overlay installation, not actually do the work.
Because you don't want to work.
Maybe like a hang a thing. Go, that was really fun. Let me watch you guys now while I, sip on my flask.
Fair.
Just straight union stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, in 2014, you were referencing how you were going to try and see how much stuff you could accidentally take with you as you were overlaying it.
That I would still do, 100%.
Make it onto the show or onto the ride. Drive the old timey cars down Main Street.
Still want to do it, man.
And camp out on Tom Sawyer Island, not Pirate's Lair.
No, I'm not going to do that because camping is terrible. Camping is a terrible disease. I don't want to catch it.
That would be fun to do, though.
Yeah.
You could be like that guy in Disney World who snuck onto the island for.
That's true. They should really offer that should be like a thing once or twice a year where, you pay $500 and you have like 10 people and you camp on the island and stuff like that. And maybe it all goes to charity or something like that. That'd be a cool charity fundraiser thing.
It would be a cool charity fundraiser.
Yeah.
Tour of Pixar.
Nailed it. Got it. Bucket list. Scratch it off.
Spend a night in the Haunted Mansion or just have drinks in it.
Fair. That's the kind of dumb stuff that people tune in for. I would still do that. Yes, 100%. Are you kidding? Just walk around cracking Miller Lights.
All the mannequins.
Yeah, throwing cans at the ghosts.
And then your last one, you said, be chosen for the Disney Moms panel.
Oh, my God. I would still love to do that.
You were, weren't you dangerously close to that at one point?
No, Terrence was dangerously close. I was never dangerously close. Yeah. I never got past the first round. And I feel like because I'm too tall and handsome to be a Disney mom. Yeah.
Well, I'm short. I'm a teapot.
That's right.
Stout. So.
Yeah.
But they got me.
All right. And then I wrote down, Bev was not invited to do it. Because she was not a full member of the show yet, but
good.
Oh,
those are the days, man. You know what I mean?
No, I was still just doing the cameras. I think I remember this show actually, and I remember that I came up with the best.
Yeah, do you remember
the best? And
what did you say?
Absolutely, rent out Disneyland for myself and my friends.
Yep, that's
and I still 100% say that is my number one ultimate goal is to get rich and do that.
Would we all be invited? Are we your friends? Would I be invited specifically?
I mean, Taryn would.
Yeah.
You could be her plus one. Yes, of course. I would absolutely love you all to be there. The whole network.
Thanks. That's so sweet to say that, the thing that'll never happen.
No, I mean, absolutely. I would I would look. Disneyland is big. I can invite more. I have maybe three more friends outside of this network, so I can invite all of you and my only other friends, and we'd still have a ball.
That's true, but like, didn't Kanye and the Clackleclans go to Disneyland like at like 6 in the morning?
Yeah, I think so.
So I think you got to go like real early.
Yeah, but they also only rented out, they rented out Fantasyland. That was like one land they rented out, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just assumed they could kind of just go wherever. I didn't know that it was like.
Honestly, that would be even better. Like, we have fun during the, we wake up real late, like 12-ish. We hang out. Then we, at like 6, we indulge in adult beverages.
Okay.
And then Disneyland closes and we live our best life.
Afterwards?
Until we.
I'd be interested to see like how, if like, if that actually could happen.
Why couldn't it? Money talks.
All right, Rob, what's next, man?
You also agree that you would stay in the Dream Suite or even a Disneyland hotel themed suite and take any of those. And the one thing that you said that everybody else was like freaking out about, you said you would love to ride the Tinkerbell rope. You wanted to be Tinkerbell and fly to the castle.
Oh, I would do that for sure.
I said this?
Oh.
You said that.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Everybody was freaking out about that? Well, that's hella cool.
It's a hell of a rope, dude.
That reeks.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm good.
No, that sounds fantastic.
And then the last thing was there was a John in the chat said that he wanted to sleep in Walt's apartment. And you guys all agreed that that was a pretty cool one as well.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I mean, I
think you can take it or leave it, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be a cool thing. But now that I'm older, I think most of the stuff would be cool mainly just to talk about on the show. Mm. But because I mean, at the end of the day, you slept in the dead guy's apartment. Like,
I know,
who cares?
It'd be creepy.
I will tell you, with like Club 33, when we walked out, I was like, that was cool, but I don't ever need to go again. Like, that's a good thing to talk about on Ears Up. But I was like, it'd be great to... It was great to go there one time, but besides that, I'm like, I don't need to go there like every time I'm at Disneyland. That's fine. It's the one thing to talk about for the show. Besides that, I'm like,
I mean, the cool part about Club 33 now is the jazz bar. That's a tight place. But before, you could look up old photos of Club 33. It was so much cooler before the pastel witch came through and cast her magic pastels all over everything. And it's just you're in a fancy banquet hall.
Nah, I disagree with both of you on all accounts.
Yeah. Well, Taryn is now off the show.
Well, I've never been, I guess, previous to the Pastel Witch, but I don't care. I don't remember much, I think, from my visit other than the bathroom, which is outstanding.
Oh, for sure, and, dude. Yeah, it was one of those top tanks you pull the chain.
The artwork.
Oh, the art was great.
The most amazing thing that, like, I've ever seen.
Rob, is that it? Are we wrapping up the opinion mover system?
The opinion movers are over for this segment. So,
all right. Thanks, man.
What you guys all said, what, 7 years ago? 8 years ago? Whatever,
something like that.
Really? That long?
2014, man.
2014.
All right, Rob. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate your hard work, good reporting, and, you know, we'll see you again.
Thank you.
You can hang out if you want, or you can go to bed, because you're, you know, you're on the East Coast, and I'm sure everybody over there is tired.
I'm going to go.
All right, Terrence.
All right.
Walt's nine old men, brother. Let's learn a little bit more about these folks, huh? These old geezers.
So, as we spoke about in the last episode of this entire series, Disney's nine old men were a group of animators. There were 9 key employees that were hired by the Disney company after the first era of animation of the company. They're the last remaining members of a board that was created by... So Walt created a board. He said, I want you guys to look at what's going on with the company, look at what we're doing with animation. These are the last men who were on the board. And he called them Walt's 9 old men as an homage to what's going on with the Supreme Court. The funny thing is that he was older than all of them. So there was Les Clark was on the board. He was born in Utah. He was the oldest of 12 children. His family moved to L.A. And he wound up working for the company and working for Oob Iwerks.
That's my boy.
Eric Larson was born in Cleveland, Utah, and he was the son of Danish immigrants. He was hired by the company in 1933. He quickly became one of their top animators, and he was also keen on recognizing talent, was given the position of finding and training new animators. Wolfgang Riedermann was a German-American animator and director. He took more of a back seat to many other people, but he also was the person who was the person who animated Timothy Q. Mouse from Pinocchio, and also from Dumbo, and also Monstroso from Pinocchio. After Walt died, he produced every single motion picture until his retirement in 1981. Frank Thomas, born in Santa Monica, he was huge with what happened with the company as well. Ward Kimball from Minneapolis, extremely silly, and he found himself often getting in trouble with his grandparents because he resisted what they were doing, what they wanted him to do in life. But his sense of humor came out in everything he animated as well. John Lounsbery was born in Cincinnati. He was hired by the company in 1935. He was an assistant animator for Snow White, and then he also directed Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2, as well as The Rescuers. Milt Call from the Bay Area, from San Francisco, he was hired by the company as well. Mark Davis, we talked about him before. He was the person who actually really helped bring humor into the parks. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, Ollie Wilson. So we're going to talk about Ollie Wilson today. So Oliver Wilson Jr. Was born in 1913 and 1912 in Palo Alto. His father was a professor at Stanford, and he pretty much grew up on campus. He was also the youngest of three with two older sisters, and he was someone who really understood what it meant to bring emotion into drawing. At a very young age, he started drawing animals, and people would say, "I feel like I know what the animal is thinking based on what you're drawing." He was really keen on that. And also, at the same time, he was someone who liked to draw women, which sounds weird. But
nice. I like to draw weemon.
Draw women.
Hello, I draw the weemon.
So he liked to draw women. He liked to draw female characters in particular. And so as a young child, he was very sickly. He was out of school a lot. And so he drew a lot as well. And his mom said, at a very young age, that she knew that he was going to be someone who was going to be someone who drew. And when she said animator, she meant, you know, he's someone that's going to draw for, you know, the local newspaper or something like that. She didn't understand how big he would be.
Like
right?
Comics, like comic strip or so, like a four
exactly.
panel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's literally what it was. She like, you're going to draw a comic strip. Like, she didn't know that he was going to go to the level that he was on. So he, as a teenager, he was very, very sick. He actually had palsy at one point, and so he had to learn how to draw with palsy. So his right hand, his drawing hand, would shake a lot, and so he trained himself to draw without his right hand shaking so much that the people couldn't understand what he was trying to draw. And so it was extremely difficult. He had a really bad ailment, but he was able to get past that point and kept drawing and got to the point where he was like, I think I'm okay. So in high school, he was trying to draw. His art teachers didn't think that he was someone who was going to be a good artist. And so literally none of his art teachers from freshman year to senior year said you should go into that. But he thought this is something that I should do. And so he actually wound up being in Stanford. He enrolled in Stanford. But as soon as he got in Stanford, he actually became part of the Stanford Chaparral, like their humor paper that they put out. And he was the artist for the humor paper. So he, at that point, a freshman year, he met this guy named Frank Thomas. Frank Thomas is someone who would wind up being a person who would be an animator for Disney. He'll be his best friend later on in life. But at that point, he didn't realize that he was going to go in that direction. He thought it was going to be someone that's going to be like a journal major, and he was going to just be a writer who could also draw as well, but not someone who was going to be majoring in drawing. So he decided to really lean into Frank Thomas, what he was doing. Frank Thomas was someone who was a little bit more adventurous than him, a little bit more experimental than him. And Frank said, hey, you are really, really careful with everything you do. You need to be someone who is actually trying to go past the barriers that you set for yourself and everything that you draw. And so Ollie really took to that. He took that to heart and said, I'm going to be someone who's going to not just draw what's easy, but I'm going to draw what's good. So in 1935, he actually went down to L.A. and he went to the Rose Bowl. And he saw everything was happening in the Rose Bowl. And honestly, what was happening at the Rose Bowl with the Chouinard Art Institute in L.A., and he loved the flowers. He loved what they were doing with art. And he was like, you know what? I think I want to be part of that. Mm, and so okay. He left Stanford, moved down to L.A., and applied to be part of this art school in L.A. And so he wound up being part of the school. And his senior year at the school, they're saying, you know what? Disney Studios down the street, they are actually having people try out to be artists there. You should think about being an artist there. Now, his immediate response was no, because in high school, every single person he had for an art teacher, they're like, yeah, you're not that good. Yeah, I don't think this is what your career path is. Ooh. But when he got to college, they're like, yeah, I think you can really do this. And so he goes, okay, well, I'll try out. So in 1935, he tried out for Disney. And he actually got a call back saying, we think what you're doing with your art is great. Why don't you come and be part of what we're doing? So he got hired by Disney at that point, which is amazing. And so when he got hired on his first day there, he walked in and he saw his friend, Frank Thomas, the guy who he was at Stanford with. Frank Thomas was hired a year earlier and they were animators together. He was like, this is amazing. And so he was in and he was a finisher for art. So basically people would draw really crude art for what they're doing for the sketch of a scene. He would come in behind that and clean it up. So people know exactly how to draw it at the tail end for what's happening with the animation. And so he did that for Pinocchio, and specifically with the nose growing scene with Pinocchio, which is iconic. He did that with Bambi. He did that with all three carbs.
Carboneras. Yep.
The carboneras. No. Yeah. No. Caballeros. Caballeros.
Caballeros.
Yes. So he was a finisher on all the three caballeros as well. He also was, by the time they got to Song of the South, he was actually a directing animator for Song of the South. And so he was the directing animator for Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Fox, and Br'er Bear for that as well. He was the directing animator for Cinderella, and specifically with Anastasia and Drizella. He was a directing animator for Alice in Wonderland with Alice and the King of Hearts. Same thing with Peter Pan, with Wendy, Hook, and Mr. Smee, with Lady and the Tramp, with Lady and the Tramp, with Sleeping Beauty, with all three fairy godmothers, with Flora, Fauna, and Merriweather, with the Sword in the Stone, with Merlin, and with Jungle Brook, with Bagheera, Mowgli, and Baloo. And so he went from being a person who was trying to fix what people were doing with animation to being at the point where he was actually the director of animation for films, which was amazing for him to be able to do. He had no education, really, after getting his bachelor's. He had no education besides that with anything art. He didn't do anything after the fact with art, but he had a sense to bring in emotion, which was going on as well. Like, that's the thing that people keep saying. When you look at all the scenes that he animated,
yeah,
you could feel the emotion of the characters. You feel like even like with Song of the South, you could feel the emotion with them. With Lady and the Tramp, you could feel the emotion with them. With Cinderella, you could feel them. Everything he drew, you could feel like you actually felt like the character felt about what they were saying in the scene.
Yeah,
and what was like this? Go ahead.
And I think what's even more amazing than that is that how much that played into not only the success of those films, but the success of how those characters have been portrayed since then. Even now, even merchandise. even all that kind of stuff, like the lasting impact of how these characters were animated, and like you're saying, how the emotions have been felt. It's I mean, this man helped to set up the success of Disney animation and the Disney parks, these Disney rides. All of this sort of character building was done by this guy.
It's the definition of the word iconic.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll get to the Disney ride aspect of that, but with what he did with the movies, he helped people understand how you can make people feel as if there are human emotions with animals. And people didn't feel like that. So Walt started veering towards, I'm going to do stuff that is just live action animals. I'm going to veer towards that. And he was like, no, we can have animated humans with human emotions and make people feel that. Like, he was the person who actually did the scene from Bambi when Bambi's mom, I mean, got capped, like, legit. Like, he's the one that animated the entire scene. And, like, I don't know anyone that can watch that scene and not have a tear come to their eyes. And it's animated. Like, he knew exactly how to bring out the emotions from people, saying, look, you are looking at a scene where people or animals or whatever are watching something drastic happening.
Right.
And you're going to see this and you're going to feel it. He is the person that brought that into Disney. And so it's absolutely amazing that, like, with no, he had formal training, but it wasn't formal training in what he was doing at Disney. It was amazing that he was able to look at that and say, you know what, I'm going to bring in human emotions to these animal characters and you're going to feel it. And he was so great. Walt loved that. Walt actually was quoted as saying that he is the only person where he will watch the scenes of a finished movie and tear up.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah. So he did all of that at Disney. And so while he was not directly responsible for anything that happened at Disneyland, his animation became character basis for a lot of the stars of our Disneyland ride. So if you look at what was happening with Peter Pan, like, he was one of the people who was, like, he did Wendy and Hook and Mr. Smee from Peter Pan. And so if it wasn't for him, wouldn't have that ride. He was involved in some of the early concepts of what happened with Jungle Cruise. He was involved with Song of the South, eventually turned into what's happening with about to change ride, yeah. But, you know, it's what happened in the ride and over there. Sure. So it's so amazing that he was not a person who went from being an animator to being an Imagineer. He was one of the few people who said, no, I just want to do movies, animation movies, all I want to do. And so they allowed him to do that. And so he was not directly involved in what happened with Disneyland, but one of his passions actually led to one of the most iconic things at Disneyland. So Walt came to visit him, and they went to the backyard, and he said, do you want to go for a ride? And Walt said, what do you mean, do I want to go for a ride? And so he took him on a ride around his property on a 1/12 scale railroad car. And so Walt rode it around, and when he got off, Walt was like, this is amazing. And so Walt got his own 1/12 scale railroad car, and eventually that led to the Disneyland Railroad.
Yeah,
so he is the one who soaked the fire under Walt for railroads.
The railroad, that is cool. And there were I think there were three or four guys at the studio who were into small scale railroad modeling.
But Ollie was the first person.
He was the first person, right?
He got every single person into that.
He got everybody else into it too. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's very cool.
Which is amazing. Yeah. So he worked for the studio from 35 until 81.
Wow. That's a long time.
And so he went from being a finisher to being a producer to being like one of the head people for animation. After 81, he retired. And then he and Frank Thomas, another one of Walt's nine old men, one of his best friends, they started to tour the world. They wrote four books together entitled The Disney Animation, The Illusions of Life, Too Funny for Words, Disney's Greatest Sight Gags, Walt Disney's Bambi, the story and the film, and also the Disney villain. They wrote four books, went on multiple tours around the world, like basically hawking the books and talking about it. And so he retired in 81, and then he was a recipient of the National Medal of Arts presented by George W. Bush, as well as being a featured cameo at the end of The Incredibles. So if you watch The Incredibles, the original movie, at the end, there are two old men who are watching what's going on.
Oh, I'm sorry. A what cameo?
It was a cameo at the end of The Incredibles.
I thought you said peach cameo. I was like, what is that?
A peach cameo. Oh. Yeah, dude.
A peach cameo.
That's where so half his butt shows out.
A featured cameo. Someone that actually got their name in the credits. And so at the end of the movie, when the Incredibles are defeating the big robot, there are two old men there. One of them says, now that's old school. And the other one says, there's no school like the old school. That is Frank and Ollie as characters, because Brad Bird was one of the people who was actually taught how to animate by Ollie.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing. And so on April 14th, 2008, at the age of 95 in Squim, Washington.
Which Ollie, I've been to.
Squim. All right. Squim.
So Ollie, who was the last remaining member of Walt's nine old men, he passed away of natural causes.
Well, someone's got to look into those natural causes, because that's like the leading cause of death in amongst older people.
You're not wrong.
I know, right? That's very good, man.
That's very good. Thank you.
Good job, Terrence. And actually, that the Illusion of Life, that book that he helped write, is considered the Bible of even current Disney animators and Imagineers, even on any level. I was talking to a couple friends of mine who work at Disney, and they're like, I'm like, what book do I get a budding animator? But this is the Bible. This is what every person, you walk around the studio, everybody has this on their desk. So it's still today influencing people.
Yeah, when you look at the Walt's nine old men, he's someone who is named a lot, but he's not at the top of the list. But if you look at how far his influence stretches, I would put him up against anyone else. Walt. Like he helped people like the third, fourth, and fifth like generation of animators be able to understand what it means to put someone on the screen and for you to immediately feel what they're feeling.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
He was just so amazing at that.
Yeah. That's great.
It seems like he really grasped the concept of character development, and also like making the character express the right emotion. Like sorry, I muted myself. That seems like what I'm gathering. Like, he's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good job, Terrence. I appreciate that. We are running out of time, but I do want to do
March in the past, present, and future with all the news that's fit to cover. It's the Ears Up Disney News.
Do you want a couple of quick Disney news is here, because there's big news going on in Disneyland. In case anybody didn't know, we talked about it a little bit before the show, I think. I don't remember. Disneyland has finally opened without pandemic rules, and apparently two massive, massive crowds. No masks and scorching ass temperatures, man.
Yeah, it is worst day to go ever.
Yeah, it has been insane. And if you guys watch follow our Instagram account, I know Maddie's like reposted a couple things from TikTok, and there's a pretty good TikTok of like someone going down, I think it's like Catella or Harbor or Ball or one of those streets, where it just lined with people on the back, whatever street that is, the backside of Cars Land.
So is Harbor, and one of my friends is a plaid there, and they said like 50% of those people did not get in because they did not have reservations. They didn't realize that they had to have a reservation still.
Oh,
you still
really?
Wow. I wouldn't have known that either, I guess.
Oh, man. So they just showed up.
They just showed up thinking everything's fine. But also, if everything's fine, why is there reservations needed? You know what I mean?
Probably for this purpose.
Crowd control.
Crowd control.
Everything is not fine.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Not fine yet.
There's no masks, and you can open up at 100%. So why have a reservation system?
No, they're not at 100% though. That's what I'm saying.
Are they not? Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're not at 100% still. So we're going July 14th, and we still have to have our reservation. And so we're like, so what's going on? And we actually looked into going on the 15th. Reservation still. So it's not 100%.
Okay. Interesting.
Can you go from out of state, or is it still just California?
No, you can go out of state now.
Yeah, as of the 15th, you can.
Yeah, which is a little crazy. But so anyway, that is happening. It has been just insane. Now, speaking of insane, our very own Brittany was there today in the park.
Dang, girl.
So I asked her, and she sent me like a bunch of photos, and you guys will catch up with her trip, I guess, over on social for the next 40 years. I mean, she's sending hundreds of photos. But I asked her for her opinion on it because she refused to come on the show. She said it was the best day ever, which is like the standard basic,
Come on, bro, really?
The mess that everyone talked about when restrictions were around did not exist here. I got my food whenever I wanted it. Rides were a walk-on. The longest I ever waited was for Space Mountain for about 50 minutes. And I think there was like a backup or something like that. So maybe something went down and there was just like a delay in the line. But that's pretty normal. She says people have been very nice. More people were wearing masks than I originally thought.
Okay.
So that's cool, too. The worst part is walking back to your car because there's no tram service still.
Oh, wow. That is far.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. She says she literally did every big ride in both parks except for Soarin', Racers, and the web shooter thing.
Huh.
Also, she saw Frozone.
Honestly, I love that perspective. Like, I think she's giving a really relevant perspective. Also, the no tram thing sucks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But she sent a picture of a video of Frozone from The Incredibles or whatever. I'm like, wow, look at that guy. I don't think I've ever seen Frozone in the park. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Anyway, that's about it, man. There's no masks in Disney World now either. So there's that. We'll talk about that on The Secret Show a little bit here in about 10 minutes. And then the other thing is Disneyland Paris opened today.
Oh.
So I think this is the first time since the pandemic, that all Disney parks are open.
Wow.
That's huge for Europe.
That's wild. That's huge. Wild. And I'm not even going to talk about the variants or anything like that. I'm not even going to let this exist in the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's good.
All right.
Healthy.
Well, we got more Disney news, but we got to wrap it up here. So we are going to get out of here now. Terrence, thank you very much. Rob, thank you very much for running through our bucket list items. And you can catch more of Rob and Nick over on Bantha Milk and, all that kind of fun stuff. Time for the fact of the show. During planning meetings for Epcot and the new Tomorrowland over in the East Coast there, Walt would constantly be sketching little ideas on scraps of paper, crumpling them up, and stuffing them in his pockets. Why didn't he just throw them away? Well, he knew that everyone in these meetings were always looking for little keepsakes that Walt would personally create. So he's sort of like robbing people and stuff, because he knows that like once he would leave a meeting, people would go dig in the trash for whatever piece of paper Walt would write on. Because, again, even before Disneyland, he was a huge star.
Wow, he didn't even trust his own people.
We've all left that tissue in our back pocket and thrown it in the laundry.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. Like, can you imagine the amount of crumbly ass, tissue paper in his laundry that his wife was like, Walt!
It's like, what do you do? I mean, but also, like, kind of what a turd to just deny everybody these, like, little, like, what does he care?
Totally.
What a turd Walt was. Anyway, thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget to ask for the 21st Amendment beers wherever you find good craft beer. Don't forget to book your tickets for any Disney park that they offer through Concierge plus Disney Cruises, which I think are coming back too. And if you are listening live, we're going to be popping over to the Patreon link, which I already put in the Patreon for The Secret Show here in about 8 minutes. So there you go. We'll see you guys over there. And until next time, we'll see you in the parks.